Welcome to the Middle East Report, each week bringing you truthful reporting on what's happening in that part of the world. And right now, obviously, there is so much going on in Israel, the ongoing war. We had a recent attack from Iran on Israel. We have anti-Semitism that is rising up around our country. It is just crazy to see what's happening in our nation right now. And we're going to talk about that and a whole lot of other things with a good friend of mine, Pastor Barry Stegner. Pastor Barry is the founding and senior pastor of Calvary Central there in California. He's also the host of the international broadcast weekly program, The Lineup, and he is the author of several books, including The Time of the Signs. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot of other things. Pastor Barry, thank you for joining us today on the Middle East Report. It's been a while since we've talked together.
It has, John. It's always a pleasure to be with you, so thanks for having me on.
Well, Pastor Barry, so much obviously going on in the Middle East right now, and I wanted to have you come on the show today because you are so knowledgeable, you know, in what's happening in that area. You're so knowledgeable in biblical prophecy, so we're going to be talking a lot about that. But right now, since we haven't spoken in quite a while, I want you to give us your thoughts on what's been happening in Israel. Obviously, the attack on Israel from Iran, the very first time that they've attacked Israel from their own soil. So give us an update on your assessment, you know, of what's going on there with the multi-front wars that Israel is involved in there in that land.
Well, John, I think the most important thing is what we're watching is Israel take center stage in world events. And this is something that the Bible has prophesied that will ultimately reach its fulfillment during the tribulation when Zechariah 12:3 talks about all the nations of the earth are going to be anti-Israel and they will find Jerusalem to be a burdensome stone. And, you know, this is the interesting language there that's referring to an Olympic lifting stone in the ancient games, you know, that the more that the competition goes on, the heavier the stones get. And what we're watching is that the more time moves forward in the prophetic scenario, the heavier burden Israel is becoming to the whole of the world. You know, the United Nations has long been anti-Israeli, and now we're watching, you know, just the people on the streets turning against Israel, which I think is probably one of the most significant developments in the last generation that we're watching unfold. You know, John, as you mentioned, you know, Iran attacking from their own soil introduces a term that we would expect to see in these last days, and that is unprecedented. And we would be looking for a series of things that have reached a level in intensity because of what Jesus said in Matthew 24:8 about the beginning of sorrows, which is also translatable as the commencement of birth pangs. And if we're late in the developmental stage of the heavy labor portion of what Jesus was talking about, which happens in the tribulation period, then we would expect things to reach a level that we've not seen before. And we're watching that happen right now. We're watching the players, you know, who are going to eventually invade Israel from the north now become more and more angry with Israel. It's not just, you know, that there's an ideological disagreement. They're now, you know, becoming aggressive and stating things and moving into an arena that's never before been seen. And we're watching this with Turkey. We're watching this with Russia. Russia has made, in no uncertain terms, veiled and direct threats against anyone that moves against Iran. And we know that these two are a pair of the major players in the Ezekiel invasion. You pair them, you know, Iran and Russia, and then you pair that with the language we've been hearing out of Turkey from Erdogan. And, you know, then, of course, you've got Libya and Sudan who round out the five that are going to invade Israel, being, of course, ideologically linked with the other nations. So, you know, Russia's the only one that's not predominantly Muslim in their religious belief system. But, you know, watching these things, I think it, to a degree it's exciting, and we should be excited about the potential of the rapture of the church happening at any moment. But we're also watching, you know, the things that are going to move into the tribulation period, which tells us it can't be far off, John, the tribulation that is. And I'm thankful that, as I like to put it to the church, that the great escape precedes the great tribulation. So we should be looking up and watching for that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And we should not be fearful. You know, you look at all these things that are happening in the world today, and it would be very easy to become fearful. I want to get your thoughts on the attack from Iran on Israel. We're talking about 320 missiles and drones and things that were sent to Israel, ballistic missiles that have millions and millions of tons of explosives that could have done so much damage to Israel. And of course, you got the drones and everything else that was involved in that. I've talked to a lot of people, and yes, it was great that there was some help from the United States, and of course, the amazing defensive shield that Israel has. But a lot of people that I've been talking to are like, this is a miracle from the Lord. You can only explain it that way. I mean, yeah, we have all the technology, but it's pretty amazing what happened. Your thoughts on that attack?
Yeah, you know, we often hear about the Iron Dome and the aerial defense system and all that, but I think we need to remember the iron hand of God. You know, he who watches over Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. And now, you know, here we've got these clearly supernatural events, you know, and that supernatural doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, there can be, you know, God slapping missiles out of the sky, but also, you know, giving discernment and words of knowledge and these other supernatural manifestations where the Lord tells, you know, those who are in control and in power, you know, hey, something's coming, be ready, be alert. And, you know, I think watching all of these things happen, it's a twofold thing that we can look at there. And one is would be the fact that, you know, God did watch over them. God did protect them. But also, I think we need to recognize that the efforts on the part of the Iranians were basically for the Ayatollah to save face. I mean, he had to do something. He couldn't sit on his hands. You know, all of this bloviating and the other things we've seen, you know, regarding this attack that killed five Iranian Republican Guard generals or high-ranking officials, and they had to do something. They threatened and threatened and threatened. But if you look at the response, it was kind of curious. And actually, I was speaking at a prophecy conference when they launched the missiles, and they launched the missiles about 20 minutes before I spoke, which made for a rather interesting audience response. You know, they were very attentive when I got up there. But it was just, you know, considering the fact that there was a 1,000-kilometer flight, drones that fly, you know, not much over 100 miles an hour. The missiles are a bit of a different story. But, you know, basically, there was a response in order for the Ayatollah to say, see, we made threats and we responded. But, you know, drones flying with the defense system that Israel has, you know, the assistance that they received from France, the United States, and Jordan even, which was very unusual, you know, it's kind of like shooting fish in a barrel. So, but it allowed the Ayatollah Khomeini to say, you know, we responded. And now even we're hearing responses from, you know, what Israel has done now in a very similar fashion. Rather than blowing up the nuclear facilities, they just let them know we can get in. And so now you've heard language from the Ayatollah and others, you know, well, we're satisfied. We're not going to go to war over this and all that stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of beyond saber rattling that's happening now. It's turned into aggressive action. But even within that, it's a game. And, you know, games have errors, and errors lead to greater issues. And I think that's very possibly what could launch things into the full-scale Ezekiel war. I personally believe that it's most likely that the destruction of Damascus is going to be the catalyst for the Ezekiel war scenario. That, you know, something's going to happen. Iran maybe tries to ship a dirty bomb or a nuclear warhead into Israel, because Israel has just shown, you know, you launch something from your territory, we're going to take it out. But, you know, if they get something into the Golan or into the city of Damascus, 40 miles from the northern border of Israel, you know, it's a little bit easier shot into Israel from there. And if Israel, you know, attacks, blows up a nuclear warhead in the city of Damascus, Damascus becomes a ruinous heap. Turkey, Russia, Iran, Sudan, and Libya are going to potentially say, all right, that's it, we're going in. And we do know that God is going to respond and wipe out those armies and leave them dead on the mountains of Israel, taking 7 months to bury the dead. So, you know, this is a dangerous game that's being played, but there's a certain amount of cat and mouse that's being played that often leads to catastrophic results.
Well, that's a great perspective. And of course, it's good to remember that obviously Iran is the octopus with all the proxies that are going on out there. And there's other fronts of war for Israel right now. You got Hezbollah on the north and Gaza. You got things happening in Judea and Samaria, in Israel, just a lot of other different fronts. Just really quickly, your thoughts about, you know, the different other different fronts that Israel is facing right now.
Well, the thing with Hezbollah is that they're not Hamas by any stretch of the imagination. They are an organized, well-funded, and well-armed army that, you know, the potential impact on Israel and the people of Israel is far greater than the efforts of Hamas from the south. And, you know, when we have, you know, that hook in the jaw that's spoken of in Ezekiel 38 and being drawn down another place in the far north, you know, a lot of attention has gone to the fact that there's three of the five named nations in the Ezekiel invasion who have military hardware and personnel on the northern border of Israel on the Syrian side. But then you've got this Iranian proxy of Hezbollah, you know, who's well-financed. And you know, Amir Sarfati told me the other day, just in conversation, that there's a quarter of a million missiles aimed at Israel from Hezbollah. And it's not, you know, these other devices that we've seen coming up from the south, from the Gaza Strip. But these are 10% of these missiles, some 25% of these missiles, 25,000, I should say, are GPS guided. So they're smart weapons. They're not just dumb bombs that, you know, you launch it and you hope it hits somewhere near where you aimed it. You know, these are technologically advanced weapons, and 25,000 smart weapons, missiles and rockets aimed at the nation of Israel could do catastrophic damage. But again, we know the outcome. And John, I think that's the most important thing for us to remember in the midst of all that we're seeing in the potential threats, the level, the possible level of damage and harm that could come to the nation of Israel. The Lord said, you know, in Zechariah, that when this time comes, he's going to join the battle and he'll fight as he fights in the day of battle. And that's ultimately going to be fulfilled during the tribulation. But we do know that God, as you mentioned a moment ago, he's obviously involved in the protection of Israel right now. So Hezbollah can attack, Gaza can attack, Iran can attack from their own territory, Turkey can join the battle, but the outcome is always going to be the same. Israel is going to prevail. You know, Amos 9:15 says that when they come back into the land, they will not be uprooted. Nobody's going to uproot them from the land. Nobody's going to drive them out from the land. So we can have confidence in that while we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the safety of the Israeli people. You know, Amir has made no bones about the fact that, you know, they are asking people to pray. They have three kids in the IDF right now. And, you know, I think about that as a parent and seeing what's going on and the fact that the whole world is basically, you know, drawn down on Israel and animosity and anti-Semitism, and you're standing alone against the whole of the world, and you've got three of your children, you know, who are in different portions of the IDF. And what a worrisome thing as a parent. And just multiply that out over all the others. And, you know, one of the interesting things that I read recently about the call-up of the reservists is there was 100% reporting. I mean, what other nation has that kind of response where, you know, you've got reservists who are called up to active duty and all of them respond and want to stand up for their nation? Israel is a unique group of people and nation, that's for sure.
They are, and that is amazing to hear that statistic. We're talking to Pastor Barry Stagner. He is the founding and senior pastor of Calvary Central there in California, and we're going to continue this conversation here in just a moment. I want to encourage you to download a podcast of this show. You can do that wherever you get your podcast. We're on all the major podcast platforms out there, so download a podcast of this, and you can also go to afr.net, click on the podcast tab, and you can get a copy there as well. Pastor Barry, the rise of anti-Semitism in our nation is just beyond what I ever thought it ever could be, the rise of Jew hatred. And, you know, we hear the term anti-Semitism, but really, it really is Jew hatred. That's what it is. and it is manifesting itself in so many different places. You know, in our country, you think of recent events at Columbia University and the ongoing thing there. It is just awful and demonic what is happening. Your thoughts about this happening on universities and in places across our country.
You know, John, watching this happen is, as you said, just it's tragic. And it's hard to believe, you know, in the first country to support Israeli statehood, now we've got a turning against Israel all over the nation. And, you know, it's important, I think, to remember that anti means against, and it is against the Semitic people known as the Jews. And this hatred that is manifesting itself so clearly across our country comes from the deception of Satan. There's no question about it. And, you know, we have to remember, John, that, you know, there's a spiritual element to this that's behind the scenes, and it feeds out of that deception that is prophesied that is going to be predominant in the last days. And if you think about especially what's going on on the university campuses around our country and the radical things that are happening, Jews being told to stay home and study online and even take their tests online and all these other things that are happening because of fear for their lives. One of the important things I think to remember is that these groups that are protesting against Israel are the same people that will march in the gay rights parades and not even recognizing now that they are pro-Hamas, you know, chanting, "We are all Hamas." Well, you know, go march in the gay pride parade in Gaza that doesn't exist. And this whole deception that is going on in the thinking of young people today especially is catastrophic for our country, I believe. And, you know, there's promises all the way back in Genesis 12:3 about blessing and cursing Israel. And, you know, some people like to say, you know, that was for another time. But, you know, the second half of that verse in Genesis 12:3 that talks about he who blesses you, I will bless, and he who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That's a messianic promise. So if the Messiah that was sent through the Jews is still being a blessing to all the nations of the earth through people coming to faith in him, then the first portion of the promise can't be separated from that. And that is, you know, there are results, cursings that come upon nations that turn against Israel. And the interesting thing about the language there in the Hebrew is, you know, the first word, it says, those who curse you, I will curse. And those are two different Hebrew words. And the second is, or the first rather, is those who think little of you. Those who think little of Israel will experience curses. And it's that particular Hebrew word is exactly what we think it means, that God will react to the treatment of the Jews. And, you know, it's just not a good thing that's going on with our young people today, John. And to see this this deception manifest itself in such a way that it just exposes huge ignorance of what Gaza and Hamas are actually all about. And, you know, this whole anti-Israel stance that you know, we saw, and you and I have talked a little offline about an interview that came with Tucker Carlson and a pastor, Palestinian pastor, and the things that he said that simply weren't true. And, you know, sadly, John, a lot of people have bought into some of this nonsense, you know, about the Jews displacing millions of Palestinians. And we know when the British Mandate ended, because they were very careful about, you know, distributing the land of the former Ottoman Empire to different groups of people. You know, there were 950,000 Palestinian people living in what's modern-day Israel, or ancient Israel even. There weren't millions of people. There weren't millions of people displaced. There weren't people that, you know, the Jews drove out of their homes. They were told by the five invading nations on the day that Israel was birthed, and these five nations by midnight were already attacking Israel. They were told by Egypt and Jordan and Iraq and Syria, get out of your homes because we're going to wipe Israel out. And that's why there's refugees today. And, you know, John, it's just so bizarre, the thinking of people today. If you think about this, if your neighbor moved out so somebody could kill you, would you be wanting them to move back in? It's just illogical.
What is the church's response to all of this? You know, what should we as a body of believers be thinking about all this Jew hatred and the anti-Semitism that's happening around our country?
Well, John, it's weird that so many people, you know, accuse those who are supportive of Israel of blindly supporting Israel. We don't support every decision that Israel makes. Israel's got a human government just like ours. They make mistakes. But what we do support unequivocally is their right to exist and the fact that they prophetically are back in the national homeland that God has given them. And John, one of the most important things that those who basically hold to replacement theology or fulfillment theology err in is missing the fact that in Ezekiel, before the whole Ezekiel 37 scenario, the dry bones and the life breathed back into them, which is predictive of Israel becoming a nation again, is what the Lord said back in Ezekiel 36, verses 21 and 22, where he said that, listen, Israel, I'm not doing this for your name's sake. I'm doing it for my name's sake. Because every day the Jews are outside of their national homeland, the name of the Lord was being profaned. So the Lord said, I'm bringing you back for the glory of my name. And, you know, I'm not sure exactly what type of figurative meaning that can have, and for those who try and allegorize, you know, these portions of scripture. And, you know, the church needs to pay attention to what God said he's going to do and Israel's central role in the last day scenario, because, you know, the problems that come from not recognizing modern day Israel as biblical Israel are just catastrophic to scripture. You know, if modern day Israel is not biblical Israel, then Daniel was not told of 70 weeks. He was only told of 69, and the Bible contains an error. And if the Bible contains errors, then that's obviously catastrophic to what it is that we believe. So, you know, this is so important for us to get right. And, you know, one of the things I like to those who hold to that replacement theology position, John, is to ask a couple of questions. One, if God is done with the nation of Israel, which Romans 11 says he is not, then why is Jesus coming back to the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem? And if God is done with the nation of Israel, then why is the city we will inhabit in eternity called the New Jerusalem? Why would the capital city, the eternal capital of the Jewish people, be where he returns to, and why would our eternal home be under that particular name if God has cast off the Jews? It doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't he pick somewhere else? Or why wouldn't it just have another name? Or why wouldn't he come back to a place where he has not cast off the people? Why would he come back to Israel? Why would he come back to Jerusalem if he's done with those people? It just doesn't make any sense. So we need to stand with Israel's right to exist. And it doesn't mean we're just blindly supporting everything they do. But we do recognize that it is God who brought them back for his namesake and glory.
You know, all the things that you were just talking about there, Pastor Beery, and those questions, they're all answered and so much more in your latest book, The Time of the Signs. And I just encourage everybody to get a copy of this. If you're confused about prophetic things and you know what the Bible has to say about the last times and what the Bible has to say about Israel, God's timepiece and the time of the signs of the world, all of that, the state of the world affairs, you need to get a copy of this book from Pastor Beery. And it is available, you know, wherever you get your books online. It's called Time of the Signs. And Pastor Beery, he does just a really incredible job of laying out all of this in a very understandable and easy to read format for you. Because, you know, sometimes you start talking about Gog and Magog and just all kinds of things like, you know, things in Revelation, just different creatures. Like, I don't understand all this stuff. But I will tell you that, Pastor Beery, you lay all of that out in a very understandable way so that we can understand this time of the signs. And I appreciate you writing that book.
You know, I heard a comment from somebody, two things. One, McGee, I read a long, long time ago, said, put the cookies on the bottom shelf where the kids can get to them. And I think that's a good approach to rightly dividing the word. But I heard another guy more recently, he said something that had a bit of a humorous twist to it. He said, feed the sheep, not the giraffe. And, you know, we're we don't want to put things up there so high to where, you know, we just maybe somebody new to Scripture who's running across language they'd never even heard, and words like propitiation and sanctification and all these other things. You know, we need to make them understandable. And I thank you for that very kind word that was accomplished in the book.
The time of the signs. And again, I just encourage you to find out how you can get this book. You can go online. It's available everywhere, you know, online. It's been out for several months. It's put out, of course, by Pastor Barry Stagner, and he's the founding and senior pastor of Calvary Central there in California. And Pastor Barry, thank you again for joining us today here on the Middle East Report. I just appreciate everything that you do, all that you stand for, all that you do in helping us to understand the end times and what's going on there in the land of Israel. May the Lord continue to bless you and your family and the work that you do literally there around the world.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. And always a blessing to be on with you.
Well, that is a great conversation there with Pastor Barry Stagner. And again, I want to encourage you, please find out how you can get a copy of this book. You can go to any of the online stores and get a copy, but it's called The Time of the Signs, and it's written by Pastor Barry. Please get a copy of this book. You're going to be glad you did. I appreciate you listening to the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley. As we wrap up this edition of the Middle East Report, I want to encourage you to read, study, and apply God's Word in your daily life. And of course, we try to help you do that as we connect to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word. But it's very important for all of us to just take time out of our busy, busy schedule to read God's Word. Because when you read God's Word, it'll transform your life. And I want to let you know about something that's going on right now called the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge. This is an opportunity for you and your family to come together to write a 3.5-minute speech on the topic, why are the Ten Commandments important? God's Word is powerful, as I said, and it's important that we study it. And this is a wonderful opportunity this summer for you parents, when you have a little extra time, to come together and to just write this speech. And the whole family can do that. Now, we're asking this to be submitted by the children in your family, ages 3 through 17, but mom and dad, you can help them write this speech. So if you want to find out more about this Ten Commandments Speech Challenge, you're going to get a great Ten Commandments t-shirt and so much more. Just visit afr.net/Ten Commandments, spell out Ten Commandments. That's afr.net/Ten Commandments, and you can find out more about the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge. I hope you and your family will participate in that very, very special opportunity to dig into God's Word. That's the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley. Thank you for listening. Podcasts of the show are available everywhere where you get your podcast and at afr.net.